In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For what reason does the world hate and condemn Christianity? What crime has Christianity committed that is so heinous that the world should condemn and even kill the followers of Christ? Martin Luther put it this way: Christians can be blamed for nothing except preaching about Christ and for a desire to bring people from death and hell to God and heaven. According to the world, the great sin of Christendom is this. First of all, we teach people to believe in Christ, that God will give us eternal life for His sake and not because of our own merits or holiness. Then that we teach them to do good works to the glory of God and for the benefit of their neighbor, and to be obedient, peaceful, charitable, patient, and respectable. And let us not forget the chief sin of which Christians are guilty in the eyes of the world. The chief sin is this, that we claim to worship the one true God. But is this truly the reason that the world hates us? Or is it just a symptom of something much deeper, something much darker? This morning, Jesus offers up this reason for the contempt and hatred His people receive from the world. He says this, "And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor Me." The world does not know the Father or Jesus, His Son. Nor does the world desire to know them. So it is that the world seeks to persecute Jesus and His followers. And my friends, it should come as no surprise to you at all that Jesus is being cast from the public square in our own country today. After all, He has already been cast aside and lost His position in the one place that should defend Him. He has already been cast aside in many of the so-called Christian churches in our great land. Why does the world hate Christianity? Because the world does not know the Father nor the Son. And yet, what do all of the Christian church growth gurus tell us today? That our solution for struggling churches is to become more like the world. A solution is to follow the world's principles, to establish practices that are appealing to the world, and to emulate those things that people in the world enjoy and like. Those things, we're told today, are what being faithful Christians means. But when you read Holy Scripture from beginning to end, there is a refrain that you hear constantly, that you, God's people, are in the world, but not of the world. The constant refrain, the constant exhortation throughout Holy Scripture, the constant expectation which we see in all three of our readings today, is that Christians are to abstain from being infected by the principles of the world that does not know the Father nor the Son. You see, those who reject Jesus or thrust Him aside for another gospel, one that is appealing to the world, a worldly religion, suffer from an awful blindness. Not a blindness of the eye, but of the soul. It is a blindness that makes it impossible for them to know the Father and His goodness and His love. And therefore, it also makes it impossible for them to truly know the Father's Son. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing because the God of this age has blinded them to the light of Christ. Satan keeps them from knowing Jesus aright or desiring the Jesus of the Scriptures and not the Jesus of opinion. And even though they have heard of Jesus and all He has done for them and for the whole world, even though the Holy Spirit holds the light of His gospel before their very eyes, they refuse to see it. They refuse to grasp hold of it. they refuse to confess it. Instead, they stubbornly and intentionally turn their face away from it. They choose to remain in their blindness. They choose to remain in their sin. They choose death over life. In our Old Testament reading today, the prophet Ezekiel is prophesying to a people who have become complacent in their faith, to a people who have gone over to the worldly principles, people who have assimilated the pagan culture and pagan religious practices into their own religion in order to make it more appealing so that others would come. The prophet Ezekiel does not tell them that this is a good thing. What does he say? That they have profaned among the nations God's holy name. Friends, it is very difficult for us to understand the scriptures in our day and age, the scriptures that tell us that we will be hated and persecuted for our Christian faith, because the truth of the matter is we are the freest and most blessed people that have ever walked the face of this earth. Not one of you had any trouble getting to church today, at least the kind of trouble that the early Christians faced when they wanted to gather for divine service. You did not have to go through lines of police officers to get here. We're not here, we're not gathering together in a cave or in a basement of a home. Here we are in a church that sits on a public lot in a public city. We are free to come in and worship our Savior whenever and however we please. And that's a great thing. It is truly a blessing from the Lord to have that wonderful privilege and right. But my friends, it can also be a curse. For to have that privilege and right can cause us to become complacent in our faith, to forget that we are the church militant, the church at war with the world, with our own sinful flesh, and with Satan himself. It is easy to become complacent in our faith and to not see a problem with what's going on in our church and throughout Christendom in general. Repent. Repent of all those times where you have not understood what being persecuted for the faith truly means. It is not only that you are persecuted for the faith when you put your life on the line knowing that you could very well be killed for gathering together in Jesus' name. It is also being persecuted for the faith and being murdered by the world around you when you stand firm on the word of the Lord. A lot of people today would say, I'm not hated. The world doesn't hate me. Probably not. But I'll tell you what. Confess your faith boldly. Tell those people who love you and don't hate you and could never hate you that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. That His sacrifice on the cross is necessary for them and for the whole world, for anyone to be saved. Start confessing your faith boldly and start confessing the exclusivity of your Christian faith. And then see how loved you are. The truth is that the world hates Christianity. The world despises the exclusivity of it. The world hates and believes it is intolerant and unloving for Christians to say that Jesus is the only way. And Christians, more and more, are giving in to the world. The world doesn't like that? Fine. Let's change the church to meet the world's needs. That is our war, dear friends. That is what the church militant in the United States of America is up against these days. And there may well come a day when we aren't allowed anymore to gather as freely as we do. There is coming a day, probably, when your pastor will not be able to say homosexuality is a sin without facing jail time. Those days, believe it or not, are not too far in the distant future. What will we say when those days come? How will we stand firm? Will we give in? Or will we confess the faith in the face of persecution, knowing and trusting in the constant promise of our Savior that those who persecute us, those who insult us, those who call us wacko for our beliefs cannot harm us any, for we are blessed for standing firm by the Lord who gave His life for us. You can see the symptom of our day and age by going back in your memory to that awful day now almost 7 years ago, September 11th, 2001, when our country was attacked and the Twin Towers went down. What is amazing about the aftermath of that event, that tragic event, is that the churches experienced the greatest attendance in recorded history in our country. More people went to church in the month after those attacks than had ever gone before, at least according to the stats that we had. Why? Because that's what persecution does. It causes you to return in faithfulness to the Lord. But here's the question. Did all of those people return in faithfulness to the Lord? Here's the sobering and troubling statistic that within a month, church attendance in our land was even lower than what it had been prior to those attacks. My friends, complacency is the root of all kinds of evil. Complacency in your faith, becoming enamored with the world and forgetting who you are as Jesus Christ's disciples, that is the most dangerous thing to your soul. So you are doing the right thing. You're here. You're in church. You're in the Lord's house where He comes to strengthen you for the fight which lies ahead, where He comes to feed you with His very word, to remind you that when you are hated for His name's sake, that you are blessed and glorified by Him before the Father in heaven. He is here to give you His very body and blood, to infuse Himself into your very body and soul, that you would be strengthened and preserved in the one true faith and respond with a bold confession to all whom the Holy Spirit puts in your path. And so it is with that gospel motivation, with the forgiveness, life, and salvation that you receive through the holy word and sacraments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you can heed the word of St. Peter in our epistle lesson this morning when he says that because this is the end of all things, the end of all things is at hand, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use that gift for the glory of God and the benefit of your neighbor. You do these things, you respond with a godly life by receiving the Holy Spirit and the gospel which He proclaims to you, not for your own merit or salvation, not to earn merit or for your own salvation, but solely to give glory to God and to boldly confess your faith to your neighbor. May God grant that faith unto us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.